Lecture 20, Hammurabi of Babylon.
We've had a brief hiatus in the past few lectures as we explored some aspects of daily life, what life was like in the city, what people ate and drank most frequently, and also a very detailed look at the merchant activity of the old Assyrian traders who lived in the Karum Kanesh. Now we will take up our study of political history again, and we enter one of the really exciting but also very complicated periods of Mesopotamian history. In this lecture, we will focus on Hammurabi of Babylon. Hammurabi came to the throne at a young age. We don't know exactly how old, but he ruled for a long time, so we assume he was relatively young when he took the throne. And in the early part of his reign, he was hemmed in to some extent by stronger men in the north, Shamshi-Adad of Assyria, whom we met in the last lecture, Rimsin of Larsa in the south, we'll learn more about him shortly, and the Elamites, who lived in southwest Iran to the east. Hammurabi will have to create alliances and coalitions to take on these states in order to found a new and impressive territorial state in Mesopotamia. Hammurabi's long reign gave him time to create a strong personal rule, which was largely concerned with justice for his people. And despite his period of successful military command, he had a focus on bringing peace to his people. I have to warn you that this is a very confusing period of history. We are going to move back and forth in time across different regions because that's what Hammurabi did. You've already met the Assyrians, and we discussed briefly Shamshi-Adad's annexation of Mari. We will pick up that thread of history in the next lecture, which is devoted to Mari's fall to Hammurabi's army. In this lecture, I will focus on two important states that Hammurabi defeated, the Elamites and Rimsin of Larsa, that made him the strongest ruler in southern Mesopotamia since the Akkadian kings Sargon and Naram-Sin. Babylonia was controlled at this time by an Amorite dynasty, but we have very little information about the early rulers of this dynasty or the circumstances under which they took control of the throne. The Amorites were originally a nomadic people from the west of the Euphrates, and they had settled over the past three centuries or so in southern Mesopotamia and become very well integrated with urban life. We first met the Amorites in the Ur III period when they were described by the sources as a major threat from the western desert. The Amorite names over the next few centuries become more and more common in our written sources, appearing as city officials, occasionally even a king. And unlike some of the other foreign tribes that we've discussed, who usually brought the end of a kingdom or a dynasty, there is no sense in the sources that the Amorites were foreigners, that they were considered uncivilized at that time. And in fact, the sources readily acknowledge the Amorite heritage of the rulers. So we shouldn't imagine any ethnic tension by this point in Mesopotamian history. The Amorites had largely adopted Babylonian culture, but a few elements of their own native nomadic style would become influential. Babylon at this time was just one of many city-states in Babylonia. Hammurabi's father, Sin-Muballit, had integrated a few smaller cities, such as Kish, which you're familiar with, nearby Babylon under his rule. And so his city-state was somewhat larger than others, but he was by no means a major power or threat in the area.